Good morning out there on internet land, and we welcome you to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
We also know that God, through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, has told us that there are three commands that He has given to the church. The first is to love God. The second is like unto it, love others. And the third is go. In these three commands, we know that the fullness of Scripture is wrapped up. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, everything is contained in these three commands. And in them may we be found, and may the joy of the Lord be our guide and our hope and stay. For as we love God, you cannot but love others. And as we love others, we cannot but go. Because going means living your life in Christ Jesus. And that's what we're going to do this very day. I want you to know that the valley is not your home. How many of you realize that? We live in the Lebanon Valley, right? And that's not the valley I'm speaking of. But the Scripture speaks of a valley. And that comes to us from the 23rd Psalm. So if you would, please, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23. We all know this psalm. We all know it very well. In fact, many of us know it so well that we could speak it without the Scriptures because we have written it on our hearts. But today, I want you to listen to these words. And then we're going to take a look at, because this sermon today, Oh, the Valley, It's Not My Home, is a picture that God has placed in my heart, and I pray will place in yours, of the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm in verse 1, thus saith the Lord, For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Blessed be the word of our Lord. How many of you feel like you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death? I want you to think about where our world is and what we see going on around us, and I want you to take the blinders off. Too many Christians are walking around with the blinders on because we don't want to see the reality that is happening. We don't want to see the fact that economically, financially, spiritually, mentally, we are in that valley of the shadow of death. It's our world. That's what God is speaking of here. When we look around and we see all the different things that are coming at us and the way things are changing and how the evil in our world is turning good to bad and bad to good, we look at all the stuff that is out there, and I'm not going to name any of it because you all know it to the level that you are willing to see it. And I ask that the Lord would open your eyes to see the truth of what is actually happening in our world, because there's far more going on than we want to admit. But God sees it, God knows it. The question is, what are we going to do with it? The question is, how do we see our way through this? You know, when you're in the midst of the valley, you can't see anywhere but the valley. When I am standing in Lebanon, unless I'm on one of the hills here where I can see South Mountain or North Mountain, all I see is the valley. How many of us in life, when we are in the midst of the stuff, look up and all we see is the stuff? We can't see our way out. We need to remember there is a boundary. And God showed me this. Do you know that the shadow of death is mentioned 5 times in Scripture? That phrase is mentioned 5 times, and all 5 of them speak of the exact same thing. The very first time it's mentioned is actually in the oldest book of the Bible. Does anybody know what the oldest written book of Bible is? What is it, Chris? Job. The oldest written book of the Bible is the book of Job. And in the book of Job, God is talking to Job. And he looks at Job because Job's making a complaint before the Lord. And God says to Job, "Have you set the gates of the shadow of death?" And oh my goodness, did the Lord open my eyes to what he was saying. Do you understand the shadow of death, this place where we live? It has a beginning and it has an end. There are gates to it. There is a beginning and there is an end. God is outside of it. Eternity is outside of it. It is a place. And you and I are found there now because this is where we were put, in the shadow of death, when sin came into our world. We were taken out of the garden of blessing, we were taken out of that place of eternal bliss, and we were placed in this world. And in this valley where we walk, we need to remember it's a valley. It is limited in scope. But on both ends of a valley, there is what? There are high places. Because there are mountains on both sides. And where does God dwell? He dwells on the mountain. He dwells on the high place. And it's so amazing because if you know anything about sheep and sheep farming, you know that the shepherds want to take the sheep to the best pastures. Where are some of those best pastures found? On the mountains. I like your thinking, though, Brother Wendell and Sister Root. In the valley. No. In the valley is the mud and the muck and the mire. And when you get sheep stuck in the mud and the muck and the mire and the briars and the brambles, what happens to the sheep? They get all messed up. Why do you think the shepherds take the sheep? When you see pictures of sheep, where are they? They're up on a mountain. They're on a hillside. On a plain somewhere, up away, out of that valley where it's just droves of grass. It says in the psalm, we don't even read it for what it says. It says in the psalm, in the very first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Don't be wanting here in this valley. Why? Because he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He will take you up on the mountain. He will get you out of that valley. He will allow you to see the heights of his blessing and his pleasure. It doesn't say he leads me easily, does it? It says he leads me. And I love what it says. Look at what it really says. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What's that talking about? God knows you need rest. Would you stop and take some time with the shepherd? Just trust him. Let him love on you. Let him give you rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, sometimes God has to force us into a time of reprieve. How many of you have been there in your life where you were just going and going and going and all of a sudden something broke and you had to take a rest? Not because you wanted to, but because God said, now. Now, rest. We need to understand, God knows what we need. One of the next things that God showed me, not only, you know, when he was speaking to Job, that there's a beginning and an end to this thing, and God's outside of it, he sees it all, and he's going to take us to those limits. He's going to bring us up on the mountains with him. But God also showed me that, do you know this psalm is the perfection of God? How many sentences are in this psalm? Well, let me tell you, there's seven. There's seven. There's only six verses, but there are seven sentences. Please remember, man put the verses there, but God made seven sentences. So if you know anything about God and chiastic structure, there's three on one side of it, then the valley. Do you see this? There's three on one side of it, then the valley. And then there's three on the other side of it. And if you notice, it starts high, goes low, and comes back up. What do you mean? Well, it starts with the Lord is my shepherd. That is a great place to be. It starts with he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, which means God's going to take us to places of quiet rest. It also says that he restores my soul and that he leadeth me beside quiet waters, which means refreshing, okay? So that's up here. That is up here. But then we're all of a sudden, we're in the valley. But then he also reminds us while we're in the valley that God's got something there. Even when we're in the valley, the Lord's there. And I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How many of us understand that that rod and staff isn't to be used on you? Well, the one is, but I'll get to that in just a second. The one is, the other one isn't. The rod was used to beat animals, wolves, coyotes, bears, lions, tigers. Okay? The things that would come at us, God uses his discipline to keep them at bay. But then it says about the staff. What is the staff? How many of us are dumb sheep? My hand's up. You know I'm being honest. The rest of you are laughing. I had two of you raise your hands. God bless you. God will bless you for that. The rest of you are going to get the rod in just a little bit. But God uses the staff on us dumb sheep. What do dumb sheep do? They get themselves stuck in briars and brambles while we're down in that valley. And he comes in with his staff. He ain't getting in that mess. He reaches into it with the staff, the shepherd's crook. And he pulls us out and brings us back into safety. He pulls us to himself. You know, this psalm speaks to us in such a way in this world and in this time. This world is going to do everything it can to get you down. This world is going to strip everything that you have. How many of you realize you work half a year to pay your taxes? That's not a joke. When I first started working, you worked until like May 28th and your taxes were paid. It is now, doesn't matter what your income level is, it is now you work until June 24th to pay all your taxes. People are like, well, wait a minute, my income tax isn't that high. Your property taxes, your school taxes, your taxes on your car, the taxes that you pay on gasoline. Brothers and sisters, start adding it up. You are taxed on your money, then you're taxed on the house that you buy with your money, you're taxed to live in that house that you've bought with your money and pay to your school. You are taxed on the car that you drive. You're taxed on the roads that you drive. You're taxed on the gas that you buy. You are taxed in so many ways, you have no idea just how bad you're taxed. And we're a free people. Ain't nothing free. You know, I think about that. We pay 50% in tax, and what do we get for it? More taxes. Representatives that don't listen to us. Laws that beat us down. Situations where, hey, let's face it, how many of you have tried to order things online here of late? You know, there's not as many places out there that you can get the stuff from anymore, is it? You know, I think it's funny, Target and some of these other places, you know, the stores that are all in on this woke stuff, right? You know, they're closing down stores in the most woke cities. Why? Because their woke people are robbing them blind. Target has said that they have lost $500 million in the last year because of retail theft. Well, hey, that's what happens when you don't persecute people. That's what happens when you don't prosecute people. They are persecuting people. They're persecuting us. But they won't prosecute those who break the law unless it's a person like yourself or I that comes against them. Look at how many of the January 6th people are going to jail for 20, 30 years. We still don't know what's going to happen to Biden's son, do we? We're still all waiting to see, you know, is he going to go to jail for having drugs and a gun? Come on, let's all be real here. Yes, I'm naming names. I don't care. You don't like it, you don't have to. Here's the reality. If you are of a certain status, you don't have to worry about the law. They changed the law for you. But if you are below that status, and we're talking in the world, if you are in the valley, everything's going to come against you. We try to get ahead, but all we get is behinder. My mom and dad used to say that. The more ahead I try to get, the behinder I find myself. As a young kid, I never understood that. As an adult, it makes complete and total sense. I want you to think about where we are, about what God's saying, but I want you also to remember that on both sides of that valley, God shows His protection. God shows His blessing. Yes, this is where you are. You can't do anything about it, but I'm here. I am here. Are you going to come to the shepherd? We make that claim in the very first word of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. How many of us are coming to the shepherd when we have need? How many of us are going to the shepherd and talking to that shepherd? How many of us are bequesting of that shepherd that He help us, to take care of us, to strengthen us? How many of us are trusting that shepherd or trying to find it on our own, and He's coming after us with the staff, just running around trying to catch us? The reality is, you and I both know we're there. But praise be to God, He's not going to stop. Can I get an amen on that? But when you and I begin to understand where we are and who we are, things begin to quiet down. Because God says to us from that very same psalm that, yes, you're going to be here, but I'm going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. In other words, we're going to have blessing that they can't understand. There's going to be joy in your heart. Why? Because God has anointed you and your cup overflows. That anointing is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that in Him is peace, love, joy, kindness, gentleness, patience, brotherly kindness, okay? You all know the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, okay? When we think about where we are and who we are, surely, surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And where does it say we'll dwell forever? Not in the valley. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Brothers and sisters, we are not home yet. We are on a sojourn. And God is leading us to pastures of good things. But we have to go through the valley to get to those other pastures. And we're going to find them. You will find pastures in the valley. We all know that. Amen, Brother Wendell? That's, you know, I have to agree with you. That's why I said, you know, yep, you're thinking rightly. There are good pastures in the valley. But the valley is also full of the muck and the mire. But it's when we get up on those heights where there are no trees anymore, because we're above that level and we are in the presence of God, there's grass. But then we can get a little bit too high. And then we get up there where there's nothing but rocks and crags and cold and wind and snow, right? And it's beautiful when we're up there. But how many of us can live there? No, we can't. So we must come down. We must come down. Because where does life happen? In the valley. And that's where we are. But it has a beginning and it has an end. And we also know that God has told us that in that valley, something is going to happen. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And we're just going to read one verse because that's all I have to read, and you all know where I am. You all know what I'm going to say. One verse in chapter 9, and that's verse 2. All I have to do is say this, and you're all going to say to me, oh, it's Christmas again. No, it's not Christmas. Well, yes, it is, because every day in Jesus is Christmas. And he says this, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Now, I want you to understand that in other translations, it says that those who live in the shadow of death, doesn't say a dark land, it says the shadow of death, the light will shine on them. You and I need to understand that's a third place in the scriptures where we see that verse. I'm reading it from the NASB, but if you have the NIV, if you have several other translations, it says those living in the land of the shadow of death. You see, it is a land, it is a place, and somebody else owns that land right now. Somebody else has it on lease. Who is that someone else? That someone else is Satan, because we sold him the lease. Adam and Eve sold him that lease for an apple, for what they hoped would be wisdom and knowledge, for what they thought would make them like God. How's that working out for you? I'll guarantee you right now, there are people out there who think they are God. Look at what they're doing in our world. We have not seen world economics as we are seeing now. We have not seen world science as we are seeing world science now. We are in biblical times. And by that I mean we are seeing the things of Revelation being prepared for. We are seeing Matthew 24. We are seeing the preparation for that trumpet to be blown. We are understanding the times of Ezekiel are coming to pass. The times of Daniel are being lifted up. We are seeing those very realities. And we know in the church that Jesus Christ is coming soon, because that's what this is spoken of. It is spoken of his first coming, but we know there's a second one. Can I get an amen, church? But prior to that second coming, there's going to be a vanishing. And that vanishing is the church of Jesus Christ that's called out of this world, because before that light can come, wrath has to take place. And we see the world being prepared for that wrath to come. That's the valley reaching its depths. And you and I need to remember, we have the protection of God on both sides of it. For we are those who have seen that great light, and we know who he is. And it's amazing to me because Isaiah also tells us what God will do through us and with us for his glory. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. Just a couple chapters back. We're going to begin in verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 35. And we're going to read to the end of the chapter. For thus saith the Lord, encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabah. The scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals is resting place. Grass becomes reeds and rushes. A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way. And fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion. With everlasting joy upon their heads, they will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Brothers and sisters, when we understand that God here is talking about each and every one of us as we come to the Lord during this time of the shadow of death, that while we are in this time, in this place, that God is bringing a light into this world, and that light is coming through each and every one of us, through all of you who are out there on internet land who believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and live in accordance to His Word. God will open the eyes of the blind. First, whose eyes does He have to open? Everybody say, mine. Then He can work on helping you to get others to see, okay? We need to remember God works on us first, and as He's working on us, He will allow others to see that work that is being done, and it'll transform them. You don't have to do anything. Just be you in God's eyes, and God will do the work of God. You know, evangelism is not that hard. Evangelism is really kind of easy. Be a Christian in the world. Is there enough evidence in your life to prove that you are a Christian? And I'm not talking about attending church. And yes, you heard that out there on internet land. I am not talking about attending church, but it sure helps. Because as we come together in the ecclesia, there's a fellowship that happens here. There's a strength that happens here that you can't get watching it on the boob tube. And that is a reality that all of us need to walk in. That God wants us to know that fellowship, that truth, that hope that is Him. And as we walk in His way, as we see the goodness of God and we exhibit it through our lives out into the world, strengthened by this fellowship, strengthened by the Word of God. I'm going to ask a question here, and I'm asking this question in my church. Please don't answer, okay? Y'all know, I know where you are, and I pray you get even better. But how many of us pick up the Bible every day and invest some time with God in our own faith? You know, I don't get to preach these sermons simply because pastor's that good and remembers everything. No, it takes me hours of study. It takes me hours of getting personal and real with the Lord and saying, this is where I am, and Lord God, these are the sheep that I serve, and how can I feed them? Because God told me to feed you, to take care of His lambs, to feed His sheep. Three times He said that to Peter, and He says that to every pastor. Well, guess what? You also are ministers. And God needs you to be in His Word, because how can you feed somebody lest you're fed? We need to be in that Word. And God actually tells us that, because we know that these things are going to come. The recompense of God will come. We see it here. The glory of our God will come. And that's talking about the reality when He comes that second time, but it also is talking about the reality of when He comes into each and every one of our hearts. Can I get an amen? Because all of a sudden the blind can see and the lame can walk and the mute can talk. Because now we have something worth talking about. You know, I can talk a lot, and you all know me, and you're all saying, yes, you can. But the reality is, lest I am speaking the truth of Jesus Christ, my words are nothing. Nothing. Because there is no life in them. But if I am speaking the word of hope, the word of grace, the word of peace, the word of salvation, which is Jesus Christ crucified, raised, glorified. Our hope, our everlasting hope. Then all who hear and are fed are able to go and feed again those who hear. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to want to hear. How about it, feet people? There's a lot of folks out there that are not going to want to hear you. They're going to turn you off. They're going to shut you down. Please remember, rejection is not yours. The rejection belongs to the Lord. Okay? If somebody does not forgive you, if somebody does not, you know, let you go or listen to you, it's not about you. That is about their relationship with God. That's where they are. But we don't stop. We do not stop. You know, I used to hunt in a place outside of Philadelphia. Been there many times. And I'd be in the woods, and there's these like stone fences all over the place. And these little plots of land, you know, there might be a spot here that's 20 feet wide, 30 feet long, surrounded by stones. Now there's trees growing up and all this stuff, but it wasn't just one spot. It would be a spot here of 20 by 30, and then right next to it would be another spot of 15 by 10, and then next to it. And I mean, they were all on top of each other. And I was sitting there one day, and I was hunting, and I said, "Lord, you know, this is really weird. What's with all these fences out here?" And the Lord spoke to my heart, and it was really neat, because we all know this. What was that? It was where they cleared the land. They came in, they cut down the trees, they plowed, they laid the rocks. There were that many rocks that they literally made fences around these little pieces that they had dug up. And every year they would add another piece of property, so they would make another fenced-in area, and another fenced-in area, and another fenced-in area, until finally they had a big farm, but it was all segregated off by these little rocks, these piles of stones. And I got to thinking, I said, "Wow, Lord, what happened?" Because it's all been consumed. It's back into forest again. Because now I'm up in a tree 25 feet off the ground, and that tree's, you know, it's honking. Okay? We're talking a big tree. "Lord, what happened?" He said, "Well, they did all this work, and nobody kept after it." And what happens when we don't keep after it, people? The world creeps right back in. And you know, it's amazing, because we see that throughout our land, where civilizations have been overtaken with dirt or with jungle. And we're digging these things up, finding these things in the remotest places. Huge villages that once housed millions of people. All of a sudden, oh my gosh, that wasn't a hill, that was a temple. Oh my goodness, these are roads. Oh my goodness, what happened? The world has a way of overcoming. But those who walk in the way of the Lord, there is a highway. There is a highway. Isn't that what we read? There is a highway from verse 8. A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander in. How do we get on that highway? Where is that highway? Turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 14. The book of John, chapter 14. You all knew I was going here, right? The book of John, chapter 14. Thus saith the word of the Lord. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be, and you know the way where I am going. And Thomas, Thomas, said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." That is a truth that each and every one of us has to hold to. That is the truth of the highway. The highway is Jesus Christ walking in obedience to his Father, and we walking in obedience to him. "Yeah, but Pastor, you know, does the scripture really say that I have to do everything that Jesus tells me?" Well, let's read on. The scripture says to us, and Jesus said to him, "I have been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me. He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified by the Son, or in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. There's number one. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, in my Father, and that you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, there's two, is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. And from 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. There's three. And my Father will love him and will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing with me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. And this is his command to all of us. Get up. Let us go from here. You and I need to remember Jesus Christ is that one. He is that way. And he has told us that we need to follow his commands. How many times did he tell us? Three. Three times. That we need to keep his word. We need to keep his commands. If we love him, we will do as he has said. Brothers and sisters, you and I are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and there are gates. There is a beginning and there is an end, and we are on our way out of this thing. We're not stuck in it. We are on our way out, but we have to find that way out, which is Jesus Christ, the highway of life. And on it, no unrighteousness will be found. No one will be found in him that is not righteous, because we wear his righteousness, the broken body and the blood of the Lord. Can I get an amen from the church? And in that we have life. So let us go from this place and let us get out there in the world. Let us be as Christ, and let Christ be in us. Can I get an amen? Let us pray. Father God, we come before you because this valley is not our home, but it is where we find ourselves because we are human beings and we are in this world. And the ruler of this world, the temporary ruler of this world, is about to be deposed. You're going to take back the title, which is yours, and through that restore all things. And Lord God, right now, I know there are people out there who are feeling the want, the desire to be on that highway of life. So Lord God, if that is the purpose of any heart here today, may each of us know all we have to do is repent of our sins, turn from our wicked ways, choose Jesus Christ, speak it verbally, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, take control of my heart, command my being, and allow me to know your word. Open the eyes of the blind that they may see through the power of your Holy Spirit. And may each one who has prayed that prayer receive the fullness of your glory, that they may know they are saved in Christ Jesus. And may we who are the church, who have partaken of the body, who have partaken of the cup, go from this place knowing it is not my home, but there's work for me to do while I'm here, because this world is not going to take up what we have tilled until the day you reap the harvest. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.